This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the Gospel of John. And we're coming to John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18, through the end of the chapter this morning, through verse chapter 16, verse 6 this morning. So John chapter 15, verse 18, through chapter 16, verse 6 this morning. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but of the I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, as we look at your word today, Lord, may you speak to us through it. Lord, may we understand that we're in a great spiritual battle, and that battle is brought about because we have an adversary that hates you, and he hates all that you love. And Father, we pray that you would help us to stand in your love and stand in your power and stand in your might and realize the battle that we are in. Father, speak to us through your word this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is the last period of time that he's going to be with them prior to his being persecuted and then being put on the cross to die for not only their sin but our sin and the sin of the whole world. And then he would be put to death and be buried, and then he'd rise again from the dead and ascend to be with the Father. And even as he said in the verses we read, he had promised them that he would send to them his Holy Spirit to empower them. And he's given his Spirit to every one of us who loves the Lord Jesus Christ this day. The Spirit of God empowers you. But he also is telling us something that is very sobering as we look at this. And I want us to look specifically at the first verse we read today. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I want you to understand this morning that the position that you have in relation to all that's around us and everything that's in this world. When Jesus is speaking of the world here, I want you to understand that he's speaking of a world system that's in opposition to God. It's a world system that is inspired by Satan himself. And we see that the world system that we have in the world today desires not the things of God, but desires the things that are in opposition to God, that feed the lusts of the flesh, that pursue the desires of Satan to usurp God's position and authority and make men to worship him instead of the true and the living God. Ever since Satan sinned, and sin was found within him, the sin that he had was the sin of pride. And he said, I shall be like the Most High. And he desired to take and usurp God's authority and position. As Dave Hunt rightly put in a number of his talks that he gave when he was living, he said, how many almighty highs can you have? You can only have one. And God can be the only God, and everything else is his creation. And he created Satan, even as he created all the other angels of heaven. Ever since that time, Satan has attempted to usurp God's authority, although we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But I want you to understand, the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples weren't just being lived out by them and experienced by them when they were walking the earth as they saw the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin come against the followers of Christ. They were persecuted mightily because they refused to deny Jesus as God and Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that Jesus was the Messiah. And we see that they were put out of the synagogues, just as Jesus said. They were persecuted. And today, even in Israel, if you are an Orthodox Jew and you would have a family member that would become a believer in Jesus Christ, these same things would happen to you today. You'd be put out of the synagogue. You would not be welcome at the family functions. You would be treated as dead and looked upon as that you had died. The worst thing that you could possibly do as an Orthodox Jew would be to follow Jesus Christ, even today. But it doesn't stop there. And I want us to look this morning because every one of us, we live in America. In America, we have freedom. As we're gathering here this morning, we don't have to worry about people rushing through the door and dragging us off to jail. As I was preparing this message, I went online and looked at a number of YouTube videos that have been posted about the persecuted church in the world. You know something? We are so blessed in America, and we do not take advantage of the blessing that we have. As I was looking at the church in India, in China, in North Korea, the church in Indonesia, the church in the Muslim countries, the church in the Middle East, in throughout the Middle East, the church in many nations in Africa, they are persecuted. I'd just like to share one little account of an individual that was persecuted for his faith. He was in the church in China. Because of his faith in Christ, he was thrown into prison and brought into prison. He was asked to renounce his faith. When he refused to renounce his faith, they beat him. They then stripped him down to his underwear and put him into solitary confinement where he remained for a number of years. The only time he would come out of solitary confinement was when they would bring him out to ask him once again, will you renounce your faith in this Jesus Christ? When he would say no, they would beat him again and put him back into solitary confinement. He said that in his testimony on this little YouTube video, he was talking about the fact that he tried to remember the Bible verses, and he would keep repeating Bible verses over in his mind as he was in solitary confinement. But as he was there longer and longer periods of time, it became harder for him to remember the verses. And he said, if there was one thing I could have, it would be a Bible. And he prayed, Lord, can you give me a Bible? Can you give me a Bible? Well, after he'd been in solitary confinement for some time, They finally let him out of solitary confinement, but they put him on work duty. And it was an answer to his prayer, because the guards didn't want to go with him out into the forest to gather wood and to chop down trees to bring wood back in. And so they let him go by himself. And as he went out there, the Lord impressed on him that if he could just get home to his house, he could get his Bible. And so he built and he put together 2 days' worth of wood. And then he would leave one day in the forest and the second and bring his bundle back that would be the amount that they expected for him to get in that day. The next day they would send him out to get another bundle. Well, he already had the bundle made, so that day he went home to his house. And his wife was there, and he said, "I need my Bible." And so that she got the Bible, and not only that Bible, but other Bibles, and gave him the Bibles. And he was able to take the Bibles, and he buried them in the forest. And then what he did is he would try to smuggle the Bibles back in to the prison where he was being kept. He got the first Bible in, and he was reading the Bible for a while, and finally they came into and found he had this Bible. What they did is they took the Bible and they beat him with the Bible, and then they ripped it up in front of him. He said, you know, the one thing that he also prayed for is that people would remember him, because he was afraid that everybody had forgotten that he was being persecuted for his faith, because that's what they told him. Nobody cares. Just denounce Jesus, because nobody cares. Well, one day they called him into the office, and they brought in baskets full of letters that had been written to the prison on his behalf from Christians all over the world. And they got very angry, and they threw all the letters down, and they told him what this was, and then they put him back into his cell. And he praised God because they remembered who I am. They're praying for me. Well, eventually he was released from prison, and there's still the chance that because he is not stopping proclaiming Jesus Christ, that he could be sent back to prison again. But I just wanted you to hear his testimony and that things aren't what we have in America. But the thing is, even in America, you can see the persecution and the rejection of the gospel coming in a strong degree. This last week, I don't know if any of you heard, there's a program, I wouldn't recommend you watch it because we really don't have anything worthwhile saying on this program. It's called The View. And there's a number of women that get together and talk about all the world situations, but they talk about it from a humanistic, worldly, ungodly perspective, and they mock anything of the Lord. This last week, on Tuesday, Joy Behar, who is one of the women on The View, talked about our vice president's faith. And she equated Vice President Pence to someone who is mentally ill. Because she said, you know, it's one thing where you talk to Jesus, but it's another thing where Jesus talks to you. In my book, that's hearing voices and that's mental illness, and you need to check about where we need to have somebody like that. Well, she's come under a lot of fire for those comments, but I want you to note that there's a lot of people that are in agreement with her in our country because they hate God and they hate the things of the Lord. That's exactly what Jesus said would happen in the last days. If you look at one of the things that's happening in our nation right now, God has given us such a wonderful respite from all of the wickedness that was going on in the White House and in our government. Our current president, you may not agree with all of his policies, but there's some things that he has done that we haven't had a president do in a long, long time. The first thing is he's been very supportive of Israel. He has been the only president, even though, and this is amazing to show you exactly what Jesus is talking about, the world hated me, they will hate you. Do you realize that our Congress, the Senate and the Congress, have voted for the United States to have our embassy in Jerusalem ever since George, or I think it goes all the way back to Reagan, and every president since then has run on the stating that he would move the embassy to Jerusalem. Yet when they came to power, the various presidents, nobody did. As a matter of fact, our last president, prior to our current president, did everything in his power to destroy the sovereignty of Israel and to divide the land and to make Israel a less significant in history. Donald Trump is the first president that has not only said, I will do it if elected, but when he got elected, says it's in the process of being done. And he said that he will do it. They've moved it up. They were going to be doing it, I believe, next fall, and now they're moving it up and trying to get the things begun this spring. Why? Because they're coming under tremendous opposition. Know who the opposition's coming from? The very senators and congressmen that voted to do it. And their vote is still standing. It's always been standing. Why are they in opposition of it? Because what God loves, the world hates. And I want to tell you, Satan will lie. He'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But in the long run, he hates God. And what God loves, Satan hates. And the world hates Israel. Why? Because God loves it. But not only that, they hate the name of Jesus. You know, why are they so just so filled with anger that Vice President Pence is a Bible-believing Christian who sees it important to attend church, who was very involved in his church, who desires to promote biblical principles, not only when he was governor of Indiana, and not only as vice president of the United States, but in his personal life. He's a very godly man. Why do they hate him so much? He would be someone that would be against the bigotry and against racism, against all the things that these people say they're against, but yet they promote. Why would they do that? Why would they hate him so much? Because he would name the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, why do they hate the name of Jesus? Because this world and this world system has been put together by Satan in rebellion against the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the physical world. I'm not talking about the physical things that we furniture and things like that. I'm talking about ideas and a whole philosophy that's the world's philosophy and that ties in and meshes in with men's sin and appeals to men's sin and his rebellion, and it's motivated by Satan. If you look at what Jesus is talking about, he said, if you are of the world would love his own. Does the world love its own? Does the world love those that would tie in with their philosophy? And one of the things that is currently, it was just heartbreaking, was the event that occurred down in Florida this last week as well, where you had 17 people lose their lives because a 19-year-old took a gun into a school and began to shoot people. One would know the immediate response to that would be, we need to have absolute gun control, get rid of every gun in the country, and that guns are the problem. But I want to challenge you this morning that the world is the problem. The world philosophy is the problem. One of the things that they never want to talk about is, what is the belief system and the value system that's been instilled in all of these killers that go into places and blow people away? I want to tell you, they're not Bible-believing Christians that have given their life to Jesus. One of the things that is interesting, there was somebody, and I don't know what is, because I haven't had a chance to really look into what this young man really was into and what he believed, but there was a study done by a Christian group about what all of these, some of the common threads of these young people that took guns and started killing their fellow young people. He said some of the things that were common, they were involved in occultic activities, both on the internet and in video games and in the things that they were doing with their lives. The second thing is, they had been taught their whole life to hate God. And so they had this view that God was the enemy. Columbine, which was the first one of the mass murders in the high school, the news media didn't talk about it. But yet those two young men that did that at Columbine went around and they found the ones that they knew were Christian kids in their schools, and they are the ones that they went out to specifically execute. One of the young girls that died at Columbine was a Bible-believing Christian. They took her, and she was on the outside of the school when they killed her, and they put a gun against her and said, "Can your Jesus help you now? Are you willing to give up this Jesus? Where's your Jesus now?" And then they shot her dead. There is a hatred of those that love the Lord, just as they hated Jesus. And Jesus is warning his disciples, and he's telling them, be prepared. But he also is telling them, I'm going to give you power to stand against this hatred. I'm going to give you power to stand against this wickedness. You know, in some of the countries where Christians are being persecuted in our world today, some of those nations are experiencing people coming to the Lord in much greater numbers than we see in America, where we have tremendous freedom. Because those people see how serious Christians are about their faith. And they see how that God has transformed their lives and given them purpose and meaning for life. And they're willing to come to Christ. You don't hear about it on the news, but right now, there are many Muslims throughout the world that are coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you say, how can they do that? Because you can't send missionaries into Muslim countries. And you're right. How is God doing it? You realize the internet goes into every country of the world? Do you realize Muslims are listening to Bible teaching on the internet? Muslims are watching Bible programs on the internet. But not only that, God is doing things that we can't explain, but the Lord is the Lord, and the Lord will call unto Him those that want to come and are crying out for Him to come to them. There are accounts of Muslims where the Lord will talk to them through dreams. And we say we can't do that because signs, wonders, and we're not Pentecostal. And we're not. But I want to tell you where God can't go because they will kill those that He sends, He will still go. And people are coming to know the Lord in Muslim countries. I give you one example of a young woman, and she's in Iran. Iran has a little more freedom than Saudi Arabia would as far as being a Christian, but not a lot. If you're Christians in Iran, just like most of the other countries, you will meet in your meetings will be hidden from the public. You don't go out on the streets and normally evangelize the way that you normally would in the United States. This young woman had met a Christian. This Christian woman had challenged her that she needed to come to know Jesus. This woman's mother was ill. This woman's mother was listening, as many Iranians do, to the internet. and watching preaching on the internet. At the end of the message, the man said, "I know that there are some out there that need to come to Jesus and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and come to Christ." The mother became a Christian, but the daughter was very upset about this because she was a Muslim. This friend of hers, who was a believer, came over and asked her, "Have you thought about what I've said about becoming a Christian?" She said, "I'm never going to become a Christian." And she says, "Why?" "Because I don't believe your God is real." She said, "Well, what if He can prove it to you?" She said, "Well, if 1 week from now He's proved to me that He's real, I'll become a Christian." Her mother, who had been sick, that next week was healed. Couldn't be explained. Her friend came back and said, "Are you ready to become a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I've given my life to Jesus because He is God." We live in a world that's filled with skepticism. They don't want to believe in Jesus as God. They don't want to believe in the gospel. They don't want to believe that you need to give your life to the Lord in order to receive salvation. And they bought into the lies that Satan has placed around them and everything that's around us. You know, one of the things, it's almost to the point of so disgusting you can't see it, the way that the world has just enslaved people to sin. The wickedness. I picked up an article, and it said that Sally Field has given the okay for her son to become romantically involved and have as a person that lives with him one of the male skaters from the Olympics. And I thought, it makes you sick. But it also makes you sick because they're on their way to hell. And nobody's willing to tell them. Because after all, it's Sally Field. She's a famous actress. And wasn't she one of the more conservative ones? But that's what the world says. The world says, "That's wonderful. Isn't that great? I'm broken. I'm broken when I look and see what's happening to young people in America. When you've got a young man like that one that went into that school and shot all those other kids. Because who had told him about Jesus?" And what answers do the news media and what answers do the world systems have to say? "Oh, they need more education. Oh, we need to get rid of guns. Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. But what about, how about can we bring Jesus back into the schools? Can we bring creation back into the science room? Can we put the Ten Commandments on the wall again? So if there's accountability to a God that created them, and they understand that one day they will be accountable. But we can't do that." You know, as I was talking to some people, we were saying, you know, it's amazing. If Vice President Pence had been a Sunni Muslim, and said that he had heard from Allah, I believe that Joy Boehner probably would have been all excited. But because he reads his Bible and because the scriptures reveal to us what we are to do in certain situations, she mocks him, ridicules him, and tells him he has no place. Jesus said they'd hate us because they hated him. Well, why do they do that? And then I close. Verse 22, it's very interesting, says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, he's speaking here of the Pharisees in particular, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Why do they hate Jesus so much? Because when you begin to read the scriptures, and the Spirit of God begins to convict you that this is true, and guess what? People know it's true. People aren't totally ignorant. They know there's a difference between a man and a woman. Physiologically, you can look and see there's a difference. They're not the same. You can see that men think a little different than women think. It's because we've been put together as men and women. A doctor will tell you, hormonally, we are different. Physiologically, we are different. And those hormones and the physiology and everything else and what God created us to be as a man and a woman makes it so we look at things differently, we approach things differently, but guess what? The man and the woman are to be together and they'll be there, and the woman is to be the helpmeet for the man, and the things that the man is struggles with, the woman is strong, and the thing that the man or the woman struggles with, the man is strong, and they're there to complement one another. But that's not what we tell our kids today. We say that that's, I don't know what we say it is. But the thing is, when Jesus comes, and you begin to read his word, and he says he created the man and woman, and he created that the man should leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and he reveals to them, and he reveals to the whole plan of how what relationships should be, what the family should be. It takes away their cloak for sin. You see what the Pharisees were doing? They were hiding their sin underneath a cloak of self-righteousness. And people hide their sin under all kinds of cloaks. Psychology has become a great cloak to hide sin under. Because with psychology, you just blame everybody else for your sinful problems. I'm sitting listening to that defense attorney as she's giving her press conference, and she's talking about this young man, and she's already laying her defense. It isn't his fault. That's going to be her defense. It's not his fault that he did, that he killed these 17 people. Psychological defense. It's everybody else's fault. It's a cloak for my sin. Alcoholism. When I grew up, if you were an alcoholic, you could be delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. But today, you can never be delivered. You've always got to live with your alcoholism because alcoholism is a disease. It's not a sin. The scriptures tell us that we're not to give another spirit control of our body and our mind. That's sin. And when we give alcohol, which is a drug, control over our mind and our body, we are sinning. But we can hide it under the cloak of disease, and I don't ever have to deal with it as a sin. I never have to confess it. I never have to turn from it. I never have to ask God to deliver me from it. You can look at homosexuality the same way. We cover our homosexuality with a cloak so that we don't have to deal with it as sin. Oh, they're born that way. No. God created a male and female. Now, there may be traumatic things that happened to them in their life that resulted in, and you can see that just about every woman and man that has turned to that lifestyle has had a traumatic experience of some sort in their life which has contributed to it. But today, you're seeing something even more devious and diabolical happening because they're cloaking it from the time that you're little kids because they're teaching them it's normal. So we give them a cloak to cover their sin. Jesus said, I'm taking the cloaks away. You got to deal with your sin. And that's what makes people mad. Our youngest granddaughter used to like to suck her thumb. It was ruining her teeth. Her teeth are pushed out in front because she sucked her thumb so much. And her parents, they had to get her away from sucking her thumb. Now, she was so little she didn't understand initially. She does now. She's not supposed to suck it because it'll hurt her teeth. She's five and she's understanding. But for a long time, they really struggled with it. Why? Because that had become her security blanket. That had become what she went, when she went to bed at night, that was what put her to sleep. And they had to take it away because it was destroying her teeth, her mouth. Sin destroys us, and Jesus came to take it away. But my granddaughter did not like it. She fought them my daughter tried everything from cayenne pepper on the thumb to... She finally got it so that 99.9% of the time she keeps her thumb out of her mouth. But it took 5 years of battle. There's a lot of people, because people don't like their security taken away, their cloaks. And they don't want to deal with the real problem, which is their sin. Jesus said they'll hate me. They'll hate you because they hated me. And why did they hate him? Because he took their security blanket and their cloak that covered their sin away, exposing who they really were and what their real need was. That's what we need to do for people if we really love them. We don't encourage them to keep covering their sin. But we encourage them to take it off and let Jesus heal it. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd just help us to understand this. Help us to understand this passage about the importance of repenting, giving up our cloaks that cover our sin, and coming to the cross of Christ. Lord, in you we are forgiven. Help us to share that with others. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.